go ahead, if you would, grab your iPad, your cell phone, your notepad, and write that down in the assigned place. Just say it with me. I'm in the assigned place. Amen. How many of you know that the assigned place we're in today is not the assigned place that we'll be in for life? How many of you know that? You feel good, you're in an assigned place, but it's not the place that we're going to be in for life. But we do need to be able to embrace and celebrate that assigned place that we are in. Amen? So I remember back in the 70s, because people think we so young. See what I'm saying? But I remember back in the 70s, Apostle Charles and I, we've been doing ministry for 26 years. We've been married 26 years. We've been doing ministry pretty much a year after we got married, amen, or a year after we met. But back in the 70s, I remember being assigned to a place called Triumph Pentecostal Church of Deliverance. How many of y'all been in an assigned place, come on, where it was a deliverance ministry? See, I told you your assigned place today is not the assigned place you'll be in for life. But I was at Triumph Pentecostal Church of Deliverance, and I remember receiving the blessings and the revelation of deliverance ministry. Come on, we didn't play with the enemy back in the deliverance ministry. Come on, we didn't entertain the work and the voice of the enemy back in the Pentecostal deliverance ministry, amen? It wasn't a matter of eat the apple, don't eat the apple, eat the apple, don't eat the apple. No, it was a matter of anything that speaks contrary to the word and the voice of the Lord, it is the enemy, and he's coming in with doubt and fear. Why? To move us out of our assigned place. We didn't entertain. If the enemy would have came and said, eat the apple, we would have said, no, I heard what the voice of the Lord said. The voice of the Lord said, if I eat this apple, come on, then I'm going to be, what, experience death, doom, and destruction. But we didn't entertain the enemy, and so I celebrate the revelation I received being in the deliverance ministry. But then I remember back in the 90s, I found myself in an assigned place called New Hope Baptist Church and First Baptist Church Denby. Amen. And this was under the leadership of Ivan T. Harris. We called him Elder Sam, the faith doctor. He was the faith doctor, and I stood at that door ushering, come on, as a teenager, 14, 15, 16 years old, exposing myself in this assigned place to the words and the wisdom of the faith doctor. And so, yeah, Pastor Peter was in that place where I had so much faith, Pastor Robbie, that I began to write prophetically what I believe I heard the Spirit of the Lord saying. I began to draw prophetically what I believe the Spirit of the Lord was showing me. And it was in that assigned place that I spoke up a tall, dark, and handsome husband. Come on, I'm going to go back to the secret place. That we might co-labor in ministry together, because the question is, why do you want what you're asking God for? Remember that series? Come on, I said, bring him to me, amen, so that we might co-labor in ministry together. Somebody say together. And so I had so much faith to believe God. How many of you know all the assigned places that you have gone through, it makes you who you are today? Amen. Can you recall those deliverance ministries and those faith ministries, amen, that you have been assigned to that make you who you are? Matter of fact, that's the reason we still standing today. That's the reason we haven't given up and thrown in the towel or sunk in the sand. Come on. It's because of these assigned places that we were at the right place, amen, and the right time. And then I remember in the 90s, amen, I was married by then, and God told Apostle Charlie, it's time for us to move on to our next assigned place called Living Waters Christian Fellowship. And this was an assigned place where we experienced the co-joining forces of the apostolic and the prophetic. Something, come on, we had never seen before. How many of you know there's some assigned places that you're going that you don't know anything about? You have never encountered. When you get there, it's going to be a fresh encounter. You ought to praise God right now, because I'm speaking prophetically into your future. Things that you thought were dead, things that had dried up, things that had been dormant for so long. There is an assigned place that you're going to go, and it shall release the fresh rhema word of God. Come on. So in this place where we experienced co-joining force of the apostolic and the prophetic, we began to learn how to shift things in the spirit realm. Come on. We learned how to cancel, come on, plots and schemes of the enemy. Come on. Before we walk into them and be overtaken by them. Come on, y'all. There's an assigned place, and many of you were with us at Living Water, so you really ought to praise God for that assigned place, because you didn't even understand why you were there. You were there because God was trying to get you here. And now we're in an assigned place called Restoration Christian Church of Virginia. And just like we weren't there all of our life, you won't be and I won't be here at Woodside High School all of our life. Because we've been assigned to Woodside for a season. But how many of you know, even at Restoration Christian Church, our hearts were open to receive the blessings of, spiritual warfare, power of agreement, unity. Come on. Many of you have never seen a tag team, husband and wife. Some of you have prayed. Mama prayed. Mama, wait. She prayed. Favor. Lord, show me. Show me a great matriarch and a patriarch that co-labor and release ministry that births sons and daughters together before I come home to be with you. And God found favor in her life because many of us have never seen a man and a woman, a mother and a father who can lock arms and carry out ministry together. Give God praise. You've never sat on that ministry where you hear the teaching that anything with two heads is a monster. So I'm not the head of this house. I am a submitted co-laborer in ministry. And God speaks to him. He articulates the vision. I'm the first one. Somebody say the first one. Y'all, somebody call the first one. Nobody's going to catch the vision before that which was taken from his rib. Come on, that which is a part of who he is. Ain't nobody, and that's why churches are so out of order, because the vision is released and then she catches it before the woman of God. So I catch that vision, and then the spiritual sons and daughters, come on, are able to be conceived and birthed out of the spiritual womb, who can catch and carry that vision. So celebrate God for your place. Celebrate God for your place. Come on, can you do better than that? One more time. Just celebrate him for the assigned time that you're spending at RCC. I told y'all I was going to do a little mothering. Try not to sweat today. We got birthdays and anniversaries to celebrate, and I don't want to be all messed up when I get there. Amen. Amen. But if the Lord chooses to do and say otherwise, hallelujah, somebody say, I'm open, I'm open, I'm open. Do what you want to do. You might find yourself up here on this altar laid and slain. Come on. But if that's where the Lord wants you, somebody just lift your hand and say, use me. Matter of fact, guess what? The altar is open immediately. The altar is open effectively now. You will not distract me from releasing the word of the Lord. If the word of the Lord penetrates your spirit, I command your spirit, I command your legs to get up from that place that you're in. Because in the spirit, when you move in the natural, you're moving and you're shaking and you're juggling things in the spirit realm. You're not restricted to that chair on this morning. Amen. Amen. So let's go into this. Amen. So the assigned place that we're in here at Woodside is going to get even better. Amen. Because God always has so much more in store for us in the assigned place. And so on Sunday, November the 22nd, our assigned place will be at the City Center Marriott. Amen. That'll be our assigned place. And obviously God has a group of people that won't come to a church and won't come to a school, but they'll come to a hotel. And so when they hear about a ministry at the hotel, they're going to come and they're going to receive the blessings of God. Somebody say, in that assigned place. So there's a teaching that the Lord would have for us to understand about being in the assigned place. Come on. That will not only keep and preserve us, but prepare us for the days ahead. Are you ready? It's going to prepare us for the days ahead. Amen. And so the assigned place, if you're taking notes, is a practical, write that down. It's a practical yet prophetic place. It's a practical yet prophetic place where God, at the ordained time, he releases his blessings and manifests his promises over each and every last one of our lives. Amen. So I say it's practical because all we have to do is practice what we preach. We some good preachers, amen, when we're preaching to others. But when it comes time for us to preach to ourselves, it's a little bit more challenging and difficult then, right? But the assigned place is such a practical place. All we have to do is practice being willing to submit to God first and then the authority of our leaders. Amen. In this assigned place, practice being willing to submit We have to practice being obedient to his word. Write that down. And in this assigned place, as we practice being obedient to his word, how many of you know conviction comes at the hint of pride and arrogance? In the assigned place where you know this is the place that God has you, you didn't put yourself there. Conviction comes with a hint, with the stench of pride and arrogance, because we know in this assigned place, come on, because we want the blessings and we want the promises, we want the miracles of God. In this assigned place, when pride and arrogance come in, we understand that pride goes before destruction. And we don't want to destroy, come on, our chance at receiving the blessings and the promises that God has for us. Amen? We understand that an arrogant, prideful, self-important, overconfident, come on, puffed up, conceited spirit, come on, it precedes the fall. And we understand Proverbs 11:12, where it says, when pride comes, then comes shame. So we know in this assigned place that we don't want to open the door to the name of the Lord to be put to shame. So we were convicted. We're convicted when it comes down to the thought of disobeying, somebody say, the word of God. I was looking at Deuteronomy 28, because when you look at the blessings that accompany the blessings that accompany being obedient versus the curses that accompany disobedience, it blew my mind that there's 14 verses in Deuteronomy 28 that outline the blessings that accompany those who are obedient. But there are 54 verses that accompany describing the curses that we're under when we're disobedient to the word of God. Amen? When we're disobedient to the word of God. That's like four times more scripture that's in the Bible for those who choose. Somebody say choose. Disobedience is a choice, amen? But how many of you choose to obey the word of the Lord? Come on, and tap into the blessings of God that are in his word. Write down, if you would, Isaiah 1 and 19. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So this tells me, despite what everyone in the world is saying, there are still some goods in the land for us to possess, amen? There are still some goods, and I don't know about you, but I want all of the goods that God has in store for me, amen? But it says in this verse that we must be willing and obedient, willing to submit and obedient to his word. Verse 20 says, but if we refuse and rebel, it says that you shall be devoured by the sword. And I know none of us want to be cut off from the blessings and the promises of God. So the word says, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So that tells me we need to listen and obey. We need to listen and obey what the word of the Lord is saying. In this assigned place, it's a prophetic place. Amen? Because God already knows where he needs us to be, both in the natural and the spiritual, in order to receive. Somebody say, I'm ready to receive the blessings that he has for us. And if you're not ready to receive, my prayer is that by the time you leave here, you will be right and ready to receive the blessings of God. Amen? So I say this, yeah, you know, we're all suited up. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you look good. Come on, look at your other neighbor. Let them know, yeah, you look good. You all suited up, diddied up, dressed up, hair look good. But that's on the outside. Come on, hands lifted. Come on, bowed down to the floor. We look good. But what is the condition of our heart? That's the ultimate question. And so today I'm going to spend some time in 1 Samuel. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, yeah, you look good. You look good, because they know the question I'm imposing. But what is the condition of our heart? Amen. And when you're in that assigned place, the condition of your heart is what makes us right and ready to receive. Amen. So let's look at 1 Samuel 16 and 7 for a moment. Amen. In this verse, 1 Samuel 16 and 7, if you're there, shout glory. We got a few people there. It's okay. Refer to the table of contents if you need to. That's what ministry is all about, amen, learning and living. 1 Samuel 16 and 7 says, the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height. That's upon bringing in one of the brothers, thinking that because he looked good. Come on, because he's saying the right things, because he's in the right place. Come on, because he looks like he has everything that it takes to be the next king. Samuel says, surely this is him. And the Lord tells Samuel, do not consider the appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. In other words, he's not it. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. The word of the Lord says man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. How many of you are glad about that? So let me say, even though we're looking good on the outside, physically in the right place does not equate to being in the assigned place. Because in the assigned place, our heart is right. In the right place, we come any old kind of way, acting and doing any old kind of things. That may be the right place, but somebody say it's not the assigned place. The assigned place is where we're right and ready to receive. Come on, somebody. The blessings and the promises and the miracles that God has for us. So let me say this. Serving in the church, serving the community, helping the homeless, even taking care of widows and the orphans, carrying out assignments at work. Can I say this? Murmuring and complaining the whole time is not the right heart. Come on, y'all. The children of Israel had a short journey that ends up taking 40 years to encounter the promised land because they murmured and complained the whole way. This word is going to help somebody. Belittling everybody and holding unforgiveness, hatred, bitterness, and resentment in our heart is not the right heart to have. Not in the assigned place. Somebody say, I got to get rid of it. I got to cut it off. I got to kill it. Amen? In the assigned place. And I say this because I'm coming to warn you so that you can receive these words and go and warn others. Because guess what? Their assigned place is contingent upon them being right and ready to receive the blessing of God. How many of you want the blessing of God to exceed beyond you, your four, and no more? You want them to exceed the walls of RCC. Come on. That's the kingdom is not about the church. Kingdom is about being the church. Come on. And warning people. We're looking at the prophets in the Bible warning people. What about the prophets of today that go and say, baby, what you're doing and what you're saying is not the right heart. It's not the heart of God. But if you want to receive the blessings that you keep talking to me about, baby, release that mess out of your heart so that you can prepare yourself to receive the full magnitude, the blessings that God. See, people, everybody want to prophesy, but how about prophesying life back into the heart of the people? Come on, y'all. How about shaking that and pulling up that thorny heart of theirs and conditioning it? And we can only do that. We don't do that when we come hard at them. Girl, you know you're wrong. You're going to hell acting like that. We go saying, baby, God, I love you. I love you. And that's why I'm telling you, you got to get it right. You got to forgive her. You got to forgive him. You got to lay that sin down. Baby, put the bottle down. Pick up the Bible. How many of us are bold enough and unashamed of the gospel to tell people the truth?
Amen. Amen.
Oh! I'm going to stir it up in you if it's the last thing I do. Hallelujah. Give God praise if you're ready for your next assignment. When you're in your assigned place, God is going to give you an assignment to fulfill. And we got somebody say, I got to get it right. I got to get it right. And so how do we know when someone's heart is not right? Luke 6 and 45 says, out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth is going to start speaking. What are people saying to you? Come on, people, the gift of discernment starts with being able to listen. Come on, come on. I don't know. Now, listen to what the person is saying, Elder Gail. In 10 seconds, you will discern where that person is. But why we got to do it that way? Why Pastor Vicky got to be like that? Why Apostle, why we got to go that route? Why we can't do it this way? You know what you need to say? Why you can't get the right heart and receive them as the authoritative leader that God put over your life? Because until you do so, till you shift your mindset and submit to the leaders God has put over your life, you won't be in that right place to receive the blessings that God has for you. Amen? Amen. And so God already knows where he needs our heart to be in order for us to receive all that he has for us. Write this down. The question is, will we be there? He knows where we need to be. The question is, will we be there in that assigned place with the right heart to receive? I'm going to say it again, the blessings and the promises that God has in store for us. Amen. If you're going to be there and you decree you're going to be there, come on, prophetically decree there. Put your hands together and just praise God. Oh, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. Go ahead and break the barriers now. Come on. Go ahead and break the old mindset. Clap your hands, oh ye people, and break and tear down the walls. And now say in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of us know that God doesn't miss the mark? But we tend to miss the mark. But even when we do, it's one of life's lessons learned. Wouldn't you agree with that statement? We missed the mark. Pastor Ray said yesterday he left a meeting. He got in the car with his wife and said, baby, I missed that. I missed the mark on that. But I guarantee you, you lived and you learned, didn't you? What did you say? You're going to learn today. When you're under a leadership that you trust, you learn a whole lot. Amen? And you don't have to beat yourself up. What did I say earlier? Any voice that speaks contrary to the voice of God who says you are anointed, you are a leader, you are a special and unique, and you have gifts and you have talents, anything that come in and say, oh, you messed up, you ain't gonna be nothing now. You say the devil is a lie. You let that deliverance ministry kick in. If you don't know about it, you need to run to the table and get this self-deliverance session. Because I'm telling you, when I look at Adam and Eve and them in their assigned place in the Garden of Eden, come on, it was nothing but the contrary voice of the Lord that they submitted to. I said in the assigned place, you're going to submit to somebody, didn't I? I didn't always say you're going to submit or we're going to submit to the voice of God. In some places, we submit and we allow and entertain the voice of the enemy to drive us out of our assigned place. Somebody say, deliver me. Amen. And you can only get delivered when you first admit there's a problem. So as long as everything is perfect, fine, and dandy in your life, you'll never get delivered. But when you say, Lord, I got a problem and I need some help, and I'm counting on you to help me and deliver me, and you admit there's a problem, then and only then can you begin to exert the authority and then CCC command the work of the enemy, the voice of the enemy, to cease in your life. Amen? Amen. I dare you, do it and he'll stop messing with you. Use the power that you have. He'll eventually stop messing with you. God just gave me revelation one day and said, if you keep commanding him back to the pits of hell, you're wasting his travel time. He just as soon come to your door and say, oh, heck, she going to send me back to hell. Let me go find somebody else to mess with. Let me go see if Michelle walking in and exercising and commanding in the same authority as PV. And if you are, he goes, oh, man, let me go find another door to knock on. How many of you can say that the enemy is bypassing your door because you're exerting and commanding his voice to cease so that you can remain in that assigned place that God has you carrying out his assignments? Amen. Amen. Are you being blessed? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now we begin to see that God is releasing the blessings and the promises. We just have to be in and submitted in that assigned place, right and ready to receive these blessings. So let's deal with in the assigned place, right and ready to receive. Amen? Right heart, ready to receive. So let's go to 1 Samuel 16. Because how many of you know David was in his assigned place? Was he not? Think about David. Let me give you a few minutes while I take a swig of water. Think about David. If you have read the story of David, think about David for a minute. Okay, so David was in his assigned place, in his father's field, taking care of his father's sheep. Was he not? He was in the father's field, taking care of the father's sheep, when the prophet Samuel arrived to anoint him as the king of Israel, right? So write this down. The assigned place is where you find yourself putting time in and taking care of another man's vision as if it's your own. Oh, somebody know about that. It's when you put time in and take care of another man's vision as if it's your own. Y'all got that? I hope you have that, I grow. I'm going to say it one more time. In this assigned place, you find yourself putting time in and taking care of another man's vision as if it's your own. And the blessing about this is, B, you can apply this biblical principle to any arena of your life. You can apply it to the ministry. You can apply it to business ownership. If you own a business, any business owners in the house? Amen. You can apply it to corporate America. Anybody with a J-O-B? Raise your hand. That's probably the whole house. Raise them high. Let me see you. I see you, Keisha. I see you, Mike. Okay. You can use this biblical principle even in corporate America. Whatever arena you want the blessing of God to be released and his promises to manifest. Amen. So you know that faith mixed with works, meaning you have to do something, even if it's something different that you've never done before, it will manifest results. Faith with works will manifest results. Amen? So in ministry, I found myself, and some of you recall this, so committed to somebody else's vision for teen ministry. Y'all remember those days? Treating those teens and that teen center, come on, and like it was my own. You would have just declared on a stack of Bibles that Pastor Vicky birthed this teen ministry, and this ministry is a teen ministry of someone else's vision, amen? And these teens that are now young adults, think about it. Today they still text, they still call, they still send Mother's Day cards. Come on, they still sow into RCC. Somebody say today. We're talking about vision of someone else's that I took care of over 10 years ago. Seeds that were planted over 10 years ago that today is reaping the benefits. But you have to understand that today's labor and today's seed that you're sowing is not to produce today's harvest. Come on, I'm trying to get you excited about what the future has to hold. The seeds you plant today, the labor that you release into the kingdom or into your workplace or into the ministry today is to produce a guaranteed harvest in your future. So that means something is about to spring up in your next assigned place that you don't even have enough comprehension to understand. So that's why I say, don't you get tired. Don't you get lazy. Don't you get slothful. Don't you get competitive. Don't you get frustrated. Don't you get anxious. Don't you get worried. Don't you get angry. Don't you get mad at nobody. You stay in that assigned place with the right heart, because every seed that you sow, every work that you perform, you are only preparing the ground to bring forth your harvest. And it's going to overwhelm you. It's going to overtake you. It says no discipline. Come on, in that assigned place, we have to be disciplined. Because it says no discipline is pleasant at the time. Baby, I know it hurt for you to keep your mouth shut when you just want to say something smart back. I know you don't have to tell me. I labored in another man's field. I'm not telling you something I don't know. I'm telling you something that I have mastered. I know it's hurt. That's what discipline is all about. It's painful at the time. Somebody said, hallelujah. I'm not crazy. I kept my mouth shut for a reason. Come on, I didn't do it for a reason. I didn't go there for a reason. That was the discipline in you. Because in that assigned place, you can't walk in an undisciplined spirit. Come on, saying and doing and going everywhere. Hallelujah. And so with that discipline, it says it later on produces a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who have been trained by it. You've been trained by it. But guess what? If you're trained by it, then I dare to say everybody in your company, come on, is being trained by it, because they're not watching them. They watching you. Because you submitted, and so God will give you sheep that will submit to you. But what are you teaching them? What are you training them? What are you showing them? See, folk think when I prosper, then I prosper. No, baby. When those that I pour into prosper, stand up, Deke. When you prosper, I prosper. Stand up, evangelist. When evangelists prosper and minister and evangelize, I prosper. Vanessa, stand up. When Vanessa prospers, I prosper. Stand up, Kim. When Kim Thomas prosper, I prosper. Stand up, Nikki. When Nikki prospers in the things of God, outpouring and disciplining and training these men and women of God. Folk looking at just themselves and what today has to offer. I decree that God is bigger than your today. God is bigger than who you are. God is bigger than what your mind can comprehend and understand. But who are you connected to? That's watching you. Somebody say, I'm being transformed, all right. I'm being transformed. The word talks about being a hearer, but what about a doer of his word? I cancel that ear and that spirit that we sit up under the word week after week and we leave the same. I decree that people's lives are going to start changing, that discipline is going to start settling in, that they're going to say no to what's wrong, and they're going to say right to yes to the things of God. Somebody shout glory. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. Just give them a praise right there. If you receive that, amen. Let's keep going here. And it is going to be, I'm sure, 2-week teaching. Amen. I pray it'll be about a 2-week teaching. If the Lord says more, then it'll be more. Amen. Because I'm on his assignment, not mine. Amen. And so I said that this principle will benefit us in corporate America as well. And I know for a fact, amen, that corporate America can bless you financially. I don't care what you're making today. Can I say this? Corporate America has plenty enough money to release a promotion and an increase on you at any given moment. And I know that for a fact. The day I stopped complaining about the 10-cent raise was the day, or the year rather, that God released a $10,000 annual increase. Yeah, and then the following year, another $6,000. And I think the third year was like another $12,000 increase. So you're talking about like $30,000 increase in a matter of 3 years. Y'all better stop complaining about the raises that you're getting. You better stop. Because I know that corporate America can bless you financially. I know that corporate America can allow flexibility to your work schedule. And I know that corporate America can elevate and promote you in that place. Amen. I believe that, and I know that they'll even hire people. This is my newest revelation. They'll even hire people to help you, to keep you from being overwhelmed. It's all, see, well, somebody who said, PV, how in the world do you come to all of that? Anybody thinking that? How you gather that? Anybody? Just one person. If anybody, thank you, I got one over here. Since you want to know, and everybody else already know, I'm going to put the mic in somebody's hand, and they're going to give me the answer. I know, the eyes getting big now, huh? Everybody say, I already know. It's because when we talk about being willing to submit, I'm referencing being willing to submit to the bosses and the directors and the managers on your job. Because when you submit, let's look at this scripture. Let's just go to 1 Samuel 18:5. When you submit, we find David submitted to Saul. You remember that? David submitted to Saul. So let's just read the scripture and it will explain. It says, whatever. Somebody say whatever. One more time, whatever. Don't people ask you to do things and you be like, whatever. Y'all learn how to laugh. Y'all be like, whatever. They be like, I need you to go do 50 of these. You be like, whatever. You know, but whatever, whatever Saul sent David to do, catch this, David did it so successfully that Saul, come on, the one who plotted to kill and destroy David, it says Saul, the one that David was about to replace as king, come on, Saul gave him. It doesn't say David earned. It didn't say David deserved it. It just said that because he submitted and did everything Saul asked him to do so successfully, Saul gave him a high rank in the army. How many of us are willing to do that? How many of us, no matter how hateful, no matter how evil, come on, our boss and director is, no matter how negative, no matter how they have talked about us, come on, behind our back, come on, that we can still say, Saul, whatever. Come on, somebody say, whatever. Saul, whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to give it all I got. Matter of fact, I'm going to go over and beyond, because when I bring this to you, you're going to say, wow, I need to promote you. I need to elevate you. I need to increase you. Somebody better receive that right there with a hand clap of praise. Come on, that's going to open up doors for you. Some already walking in it, but I believe you slip and slide. And your slipping and sliding is delaying you and denying you of the full promises of God. I cancel that slip and slide mindset where you're in and out, up and down, happy and mad. I cancel that, and I speak stability as you're rooted and planted in the word of the Lord. We ain't got time. Get the kingdom and RCC is in need of you. In need of your increase. Come on. In need of your promotion. The missions fund is in need of your raises. Amen. Because we know that you're going to increase what you're sowing into the missions field. Which somebody say, that's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. And so the principle will also benefit us in business ownership. And I recall being so faithful to the vision of my female mentor, Pastor Robbie. Her name was Auntie Yubita, young German, well, older German woman, but her name was Auntie Yubita. And she trained me to the point where when the Lord recently called her to come home with him, she had already left word to her family that Vicki Ammons was to inherit her clients. I know, somebody can appreciate that. See, I love ministering because I'm not just talking about church. We got it down packed in church. Come on, hit it, V. Oh, we got that down packed. Yeah. But when we walk out the doors, come on, what is the condition of our heart? Not with me and Apostle Charlie in the church, not with your head elder and your head deacon in the church, but what is your heart? What is your attitude when you walk out the doors of the church and encounter the people who really need you? Oh, who's really watching you? Who's really depending on you to show them the Bible, because they're not going to open up these books. Y'all with me? I feel you. That's a good thing. We're not going to call a special meeting after church today. Amen? We're not going to call a special meeting after church today. But I said that this with this young woman that I sat at the feet of, and she left these clients to me, it was because I trusted that the Lord was leading her. Come on, I sat at her feet. Watch this. I did what she said do, and I didn't do what she said not to do. I went where she told me to go, and I didn't go to homes that she told me not to go. Somebody gonna catch me in a minute. Come on, I believe we need to reintroduce the Ruth and Naomi principle to the women of God in the house. I do. I believe we need to reintroduce the book of Ruth when Naomi told Ruth and Orpah to go your way because I'm old and I can't birth no more sons. And the sons that I birthed for you, they're dead and they're gone now. And so go back to your homeland because I can't birth any more children. Or Danette, I heard her say, I can't birth any more vision because I'm old. But I decree that the women of wisdom would just connect with me in the spirit and say, baby, age is only a number. That no matter how old I am, I'm only more graced. I'm only more experienced. I only have more anointing. I only have more favor. Age is not a limitation that says I don't have anything else in me. Come on, women of wisdom. I got plenty more in me. And I'm looking and I'm waiting and I'm wanting and I'm yearning for some daughters that will connect to me to receive what else I have to offer. Somebody give God praise. I got more in me. 26 years of ministry, and I'm still moving, and I'm still going, and I'm still doing, and greater works he shall do in the next places that God is calling us to. And so one of the daughter-in-laws has no problem, and she says, okay, I'm out. She kissed Naomi and she went back home. Remember that? I'm reintroducing Ruth. The women of God need to read Ruth, because what happens is Ruth says to Naomi, "No, Naomi, because I trust, watch this. I don't trust you, Naomi. I trust the God in you. Naomi, because I trust the God in you, something tells me that you still have more to offer." So in Ruth 1 and 16, Ruth says to Naomi, "So wherever you go, Naomi, I'm going to go. Your people, Naomi, shall be my people." People looking for individuals to minister to, but I come to decree they tied into your Naomi, and you're frustrated because Naomi has the people that you are called to minister to. But when you shut Naomi down, you shut down the people that God has assigned to her, because she's planning to turn around, huh, and reassign them to you, because your grace and your anointing ain't the same as her grace and her anointing. Baby, she needs you. Ah. Can I make it personal? I need you. Women of God, I need you, because you have things to offer that I don't have. Amen. And so she says, "Your God shall be my God. I don't want you to be my best friend," because that's a lateral level relationship anyway. Can I get somebody who's hands free? Monique, you hands free? Come on up here. That's a lateral level relationship anyway. I don't need a best friend, Monique. I don't need a girlfriend. That word was already prophesied over me. But what I do need is for you to trust the God in me. I need you to be able to trust that I'm steering you the right direction. I need you to be able to trust what I'm saying. I need you to be able to go where I'm taking you, trusting that I, Naomi, am being led of the Lord in where I take you. I don't need you even behind me. In the natural, I need you beside me. Come on, but in the spirit realm where nobody sees but God, bow down, Monique and Ruth. I need you submitted in a posture where your heart is open to receive of me, where your spirit is ready to receive of me and be watered by me, so that you can grow up. Somebody shall grow up, women of God. Grow up wives. Grow up leaders under a Naomi that you can trust. I thank God for the women standing, because every woman that's sitting, I'm commanding your spirit now. Wake up in the spirit realm. I'm Naomi, and I'm ministering to you. I'm watering you. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet, women of God. Divine insight for oversight will let you know when the heart of your sons and daughters are turning. Walking beside me in the natural is one thing, but when you stir your heart and your heart becomes a competitive heart where you want to be beside me in the spirit realm, now Naomi is not able to introduce you to Boaz. Everybody wants their Boaz, don't they? But Ruth was in her assigned place, y'all, because she followed Naomi to Naomi's land. She followed Naomi to the territory that God had given her. Naomi didn't put herself there. She was led by the Spirit of God. And Orpah missed out on the blessings because she went back to a place that she thought had something to offer her. Ruth, just like David, she gleaned in Boaz's field, Kim and Shalika, Tiffany. She gleaned in Boaz's field, a relative of Naomi's deceased husband. That tells me that the same anointing that was on Ruth, Naomi's husband, the same anointing that was on her husband, the relatives recognized that even though he's dead and gone, Naomi, that same grace. That's why I say, women, you got to submit to your husband. Husbands, you got to submit to God like you've never submitted to him before. Because your wife and her blessings and her promises,
Her miracles, man of God, is tied into your faith, and you stand in your ground when God speaks a revelatory word into your ear and into your spirit. You got to open up your mouth and be able to articulate what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So Ruth enters into Boaz's field, and she finds favor with Boaz. So much favor had Elder Karen that he gives instructions that when she's gleaning in the field, give her more grain than you give anybody else. This just barely making it, I cancel that, it's over. An unsubmitted person only gets what they need, but a submitted man and woman of God walks in a place of overflow, abundance, and increase. That's why, Elder Gill, you're experiencing blessings of God like you've never experienced before. That's why you and Rodney's cup is running over, because for one of the first times in history, you have felt not your body, Elder Gill, but your heart submitted to the woman of God. Oh, yeah, we submit to the men of God all the time. But it's the mother who catches that spirit and that baby and birth what's inside of you. We nurture it. We develop it. We call you. We check on you. We speak into you. It's something that the Father doesn't do, because when he plants the seed, his assignment is done. Catch me. So because the men of God have been an intricate part of your life, Elder Gail, it wasn't until that mother Naomi comes in with a heart to care for you, to put you at her bosom and say, I'm not going to leave you, Elder Gail. I'm going to thrust you into all that God has for you. So what we find with Ruth is that she marries Boaz. They father and mother a child named Obed. It was just a seed back in the day of Naomi. But their child Obed fathered Jesse. Jesse fathered David. David becomes part of the lineage of the Messiah. So Ruth submitting the day that she did had no idea that her submission today was going to bring about a harvest in the time of the Messiah's birth and coming. I speak now over this house that even as you receive the revelatory word of the Lord, that your heart is changing. That you're being transformed by the power and the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. I'm calling forth the daughters and the sons that can say, yeah, there's been a hint of pride. There may have been a hint of arrogance. It's you that God is asking, will you turn your heart back to me? Submit to me and submit to your man and woman of God. And as you do so, I pronounce that you're right and you're ready to receive. You may be here where you need to make a public acknowledgement that, Lord, I gave up back then because I didn't see the fruit of my labor, but now I understand, and I'm going to walk prophetically to this altar because I'm walking into my future. I'm walking into the seed I have planted. I'm walking into the labor that I have released into your kingdom, and now prophetically I walk saying I'm ready to receive the blessings that you have for me. Because what has held you back for so long, woman of God, was thinking that I need to see the results. But God is saying, you just keep planting. You just keep sowing your time, your talents, your treasures, because I have a bright future ahead of you. Even as I speak a total surrender and submission over a woman of God, God put you in this place, woman of God, at the right time so that the mother's word will stir up the gifts on the inside of you. You are anointed, woman of God. You walk in power, woman of God. You have great jewels and treasures on the inside of you that must come out. And even as you surrender and submit, you don't have to cancel the voice of the enemy. Watch this. I cancel the voice of the enemy for you. I cancel him. And I say, you got to go through me to get to her. And I command the diabolical plots and schemes, the thoughts and the attacks of the enemy. I cover you now. And I speak that you shall experience life without the usual stress, strain, or struggle that you've seen amongst the many around you. It shall not be named among you. In the name of Jesus, just let the Lord use you in your own way. If you're already anointed and you're already submitted and you're already gleaning in the field, then you can put your hands together and celebrate God for that. But if you're not, if your heart has turned,